When I was a licensed wildlife rehabilitator, I'd feel a visceral pain when anyone called up about the baby birds he or she had rescued a week or so before. More often than not, that person was now wondering why the little things seemed to have lost their appetite. At that point, the nestlings had already begun the dying process, and there was usually nothing I could do to save them. The kinds of food offered and the frequency of feeding both require knowledge and more time and attention than most people can give, and parent birds give their young a lot more care than just feedings. Most songbirds remain with their parents for weeks, some for months, after fledging, as their parents teach them the ropes of survival. Without that, how can we expect the babies we save to survive? When a bird hits a window in winter, many people bring it into the house, thinking that will of course be better than being in the cold. But our winter birds are so physically acclimated to cold that a comfortable room temperature for us can seem unbearably hot to them. Of course, leaving them on their backs out in the cold will also doom them. The simplest and best thing to do in this situation is to right the bird and put it in a protected but fairly cool place for a few minutes in a closed shoebox or other darkened enclosure, and take it outdoors to open the box every 10 minutes or so until the bird flies off. If a wing or leg appears injured, or if blood is coming from anywhere, the bird should immediately be brought to a licensed rehabber. Over the years, many people have told me that they cup the bird in their hand and breathe on it, and it miraculously flies away. This is an old wives' and husbands' tale, as cruelly ridiculous as breathing on a brain-injured person to heal him or her would be. I've picked up at least a few hundred birds with head injuries from collisions during my lifetime, and never once breathed on any of them. Nonetheless, most of them flew away just as quickly without being exposed to a wash of hot carbon dioxide and germs from my mouth. Tragically, about 50% of birds that do fly off after hitting a window still end up dying from hematomas and other injuries that we can't see, but 50% can survive. Witnessing a natural predation event can be extremely heart-wrenching, so I do understand the impulse to intervene, even as I know how absolutely wrong-headed it is. One time I witnessed a Cooper's hawk tearing into my own personal backyard robin, the beloved male who sang from atop my spruce tree for at least 3 years running. He was screaming, his mate was squawking and dive-bombing the hawk, and the hawk was ripping chunks out of the poor robin's pectoral muscles while he was still alive. Meanwhile, three crows had descended to observe the scene and maybe capitalize if the female robin succeeded in chasing off the hawk so the crows could finish up whatever of the male robin remained. My natural human impulse was to step in, but what possible good could that have done for any of the six birds on the scene? There was no way, with his breast sliced open and chunks already missing from his flight muscles, that the robin could ever fully recover. Some people told me I should have at least denied the hawk that meal, but sending it off hungry would have simply meant that it would have had to kill another bird that day, too. And compassion for wildlife has to extend not only to the victims, but also to the hungry predators. In the 4 decades I've been birding, I've watched far more unsuccessful hunts than successful ones. Wild creatures are what they are. In the final analysis, taking pity on and helping animals deserve more nuanced approaches than simple sound bites can explain. The quality of mercy is indeed strained when we act with kindness that is not informed by knowledge. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.